I invite you to turn your Bibles to the book of 2 Peter this morning. The book of 2 Peter. We come upon a passage here that has been a passage that I have referred to many times in my life and have found it to be a passage of great strength and encouragement. This passage, as you're going to see, makes a promise or gives a proclamation that, boy, we need in our lives. Because, let's face it, we live life, we're here, we're on this earth, and we are living and breathing, dealing with people, dealing with circumstances, dealing with challenges. We've got questions that aren't answered. We've got burdens and trials that come at us when we don't even expect them, don't see them coming. We need God's Word. We need His truth. And in this passage, you're going to see a great promise proclaimed that I trust will be an encouragement to you. 2 Peter is a letter, again, written by the Apostle Peter. He walked and talked with the Lord Jesus while he was on earth. He spent time with him. And then Peter was used as an integral part of the church in its beginning stages. He was a missionary and ministered to the Jewish people. He grew in his faith, and God worked mightily in and through him. He, like Stephen, gave his life for the cause of Christ. Well, before he died, Peter penned these words under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. A while back, I began thinking about what we all have in common. All of us, no matter where you live, no matter how old you are, no matter what you believe, we all have these things in common. And I put these things down in a list, and this has been sitting in my computer for months now, for I never knew exactly how the Lord might want to use these principles. And I believe that this morning, God will challenge our hearts and encourage us through these principles and the truths that we see in 2 Peter. Now, what are these worldwide things that we all have in common? And I'm going to call them specifically worldwide problems. Okay, I'm going to focus on worldwide problems and the only solution to them. How's that for a nice positive message, huh? Well, we've got to be honest about this, okay? There are some things that we all have in common, all problems, but here's the wonderful thing. There is a solution. And that solution is a person, Jesus Christ, okay? Now, you may say as we go down through this list, all right, these are, yes, definitely problems. They all have one answer. That is the person, Jesus Christ. Worldwide problem, number one, is depravity. What is depravity? Well, depravity is that state of man whereby we have nothing good in and of ourselves. There's no goodness in us. Now, you may argue with me on that fact. You may say, well, I am a good person. I've done some good things. And, well, maybe you have. In the sight of mankind, you have done. But let's remember, our lives are not just sanctioned just to the opinions of man, but to the great judge and creator of this world, God. And as God looks at us, he has these words to say to us in Romans chapter 3. Listen to this. As it is written, there is none righteous. No, not one. I hope that is clear for all of us. The worldwide problem of depravity, it affects you, and it affects me. There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. This is the word of God coming at us here. That's in Romans chapter 3. Well, what's the solution? What is God's answer for this worldwide problem? Because let's face it, God has created this world. Sin entered the world at the beginning, and thus mankind became depraved, overwhelmed by the sin and sin nature. Well, God's answer is the righteousness that is found in Jesus Christ. 2 Peter verse 1 of chapter 1 says this, a servant, apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through what? Through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now that phrase there, our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, those two terms, God and Savior, go together. And what you have in this statement is a declaration of the deity of Jesus Christ. One of the profound foundations of Christianity is that Jesus Christ is God. He came to this earth in the form of a baby, and we're going to celebrate this at Christmas. But he came to this earth, but he was fully God, yet fully man. I can't totally explain that to you, except it was God's way of coming to this earth and showing us what his expectation was for mankind. Perfection. Absolute perfection. And so therefore, Jesus Christ lived that out for us when he came to this earth. The righteousness of Jesus Christ is the answer to the worldwide problem of depravity. In that same passage in Romans chapter 3, it says this, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation, big word, meaning satisfying God's wrath through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. Depravity. We all have that in common, but there is a solution, there's an answer to that, and that is found in Jesus Christ. You will not find any other solution, only Jesus. Depravity. Secondly, decay. Decay. We don't have to go very far to find that things are dying, that we are dying. How many of you this year have found yourselves just a little bit slower, a little bit more aches and pains, hair getting gray? I think I may have one coming, but my wife keeps checking to see if I have gray hairs yet. But you know what? It's not like there's a reversal that we go from gray to the brown we used to have, right? It's just this decay. and we just continue to march down this road. What about your plants? They decay. They eventually will die. Your grass, there's decay in the natural realm. Your pets, they don't stay with you forever. There is decay. And we all face that evenly across the world. Whether you are in a tribe in Papua New Guinea, or whether you are in Wall Street in New York City, we're all affected by decay. What about these great buildings that we build? What about these great cars that we drive? Rust, cracked, they fall down. There is decay. Well, what's God's answer? Well, God's answer, again, is found in Jesus Christ. The answer is the growth that comes in knowing God. In knowing God, there is a growth that happens that it doesn't stop the decay, but it takes our attention from this decaying world and our decaying body, and it transfers it upon the Lord Jesus Christ, where there is a hope of an eternal future in heaven with Him, where, interestingly enough, there is no decay. You know that there's the tree of life that was found in Genesis chapter 1 in the Garden of Eden. It's still alive in heaven in Revelation because it's in God's realm. You know, we want to escape the problem of decay. It's only found in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, again, is the answer to these worldwide problems. In our passage this morning in 2 Peter, in verse 4, listen to this truth, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. And he says here, having escaped the corruption. Corruption, this is a word that means decay, perishing, dying. The corruption that is in the world through lust. A worldwide problem of depravity and of decay. Thirdly, worldwide problem is that we are all affected by deception. Lies. There's a passage in John chapter 8 where the Lord Jesus is speaking and he says these words, "If God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech?" And again, this is Jesus speaking. "Even because you cannot hear my word. You are of your father, the devil. And the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not." Those were Jesus' words concerning the devil. And you know that the devil is the prince of this world. You realize, don't you, that this world is blinded by the god of this world, it tells us in the letter to the Corinthians. And so there's this worldwide problem of deception going on. There are these statements and these statements that are going out, and they are being paraded as truth, and people are clinging to them, believing them, and all that is doing is leading them down a road that leads to further destruction. Ultimately, death. If you're here today and maybe you're new to the Word of God, You know, the Word of God has truth in it about how this death, how this decay, how this deception is overcome. And the only solution and the answer to that is whom? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said this, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Do any of you like to be lied to? I don't think there's one person here that would say yes to that question. Why? It's because we like the truth. We like to know what is the truth. How do you really feel about me? What is really wrong with my car? We like the truth. Let's realize today there's a worldwide problem out there of deception, and that the God of this world is seeking to blind this world, people, to the fact that he's lying to them. To the fact that the worldwide pleasures, the things that people look to satisfy themselves, really only satisfy them for a time. Only a short time. And that the ultimate conclusion of a life lived away from God ends in death. There's depravity, there's decay, there's deception. There's dependence. Worldwide problem, dependence. We look at it this way. We depend on something outside of ourselves for survival. I don't care who you are, and I don't care if you are those guys on those reality TV shows that go out and survive these incredible situations with the clothes on their back. I don't care who you are. We all are dependent on something outside of ourselves for survival. Just think physically about your own body, your own life. You need water. Okay? You need water. That is just a fundamental fact of life. You need water. And you need some sort of nourishment. You need some sort of food. Interestingly enough here now, our body is designed that way. You don't have a say in that. That's just the way you're made. You need those things. You depend on those things. Where do those things come from? How do you get them? Well, let me ask you this. What's the solution then to this worldwide problem of dependence? We all need something. Well, let me tell you, we need God. We need the Lord Jesus Christ. So many people in this world have bought into this lie, again, the deception, that we don't need anybody else. It's just all about me. We all started out that way from our very birth. We started crying, and it was all about me. Feed me. Make sure I have the nourishment. Make sure that I'm clean. Make sure that I'm warm. Make sure that I'm protected. We all depend on something outside of ourselves. But the sad thing is, the deception of the devil tells us that you don't need anything else. You just need yourself. Think about it, folks. Use your mind and realize you do need something. And I venture to tell you that those things that you need have been made possible by the Creator God. Let me tell you what Jesus said when he spoke concerning this matter in Matthew chapter 6. He says, "Take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the birds of the air, They sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? And why take you a thought for your clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or with what shall I be clothed? For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all of these things. Seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You see, we have all that, all of us have that in common. We all have a dependence. We all need something outside of ourselves for survival. And God's answer to that is found in Jesus Christ, where he meets our every need. He provides for us. He instructs us in his prayer. Many call it the Lord's Prayer. He instructs us to pray this way: give us this day our daily bread. God will give you what you need for today. But again, all of that comes back to this point. Well, what's the solution? It's a trust in Jesus Christ. It's a trust in him. Because you know what? God knows the needs that you have. Hebrews tells it this way: for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. For let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The world and its dependence runs to all the wrong things. May God today show you where to run. You run to him, and you run to his throne of grace, the grace that is found and known in Jesus Christ. In 2 Peter, Peter writes in verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Do you have grace and peace in your life? You realize now that you are dependent upon something or someone outside of yourselves. And I want to present to you today the grace and the peace that can be known through Jesus Christ. In this passage in 2 Peter, it says that grace and peace be multiplied or be increased unto you through what? Through the knowledge, the epignosko, the precise and correct experiential understanding and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Do you know him? The Bible says that knowing him and knowing and understanding him as our Lord allows grace and peace to be multiplied and increased in our lives. Notice it doesn't say that there's going to be an absence of problems. It says that there will be a grace to endure through the struggles and a peace to know that I'm okay in God's sight. Because again, God is the judge in the end, not you or me. Depravity, decay, deception, dependence, and finally, and this is predictable, death. We all have that in common. Not only we're decaying, but we face death. I dare say that there's not a person here that hasn't been affected by death in your family or a friend or loved one. Death is a cold reality. that this world has been overwhelmed by sin. It's a cold reality that this world is ruled by a lying, deceiving devil. But you know, we could think and dwell on death all day long and be depressed and discouraged, but you know, there's a solution, and there's that solution is Jesus Christ. Life. If you read the Bible, you will see death and life contrasted time and time again. If you read the Gospels where it presents Jesus and his life on earth, you will get to know him as a man who speaks words of life. As he speaks as a giver of eternal life. In fact, he used that, he illustrated that by offering a woman who was at a well, and he asked her for water, and then he offered to give her living water, whereby she would never thirst again. Never thirst again. And of course, she's confused. How is that possible? And Jesus proclaims to her that he himself is the giver of life. Romans chapter 6, verse 8. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. You know what? Jesus Christ is the solution, and this is why. And when Jesus was on earth, he lived a perfect, sinless life. He never did anything wrong. But the people rejected him. And they put him on a cross. They put him to death, a criminal's death. He died. He was buried. He was placed in a tomb. It was sealed. And he was there for 3 days. And on the third day, he rose again. I don't think any of us here know people who have risen again. You see, Jesus Christ showed power over sin and over death. And this resurrection was not just a resurrection to the fact that he had a body that began decaying again. Absolutely not. You see, the resurrection that God gives is a resurrection to eternal life. And you see, Jesus Christ, he was resurrected. And his body wasn't decaying. It was a new body. And he's alive today. And he issues us that promise. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You see, Jesus Christ is the answer. And the Apostle Peter, he proclaims that as we look back at our passage where he says, to them that have obtained a like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Again, there's the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. So we have the righteousness of God. We have the knowledge of God, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. And there's the promise. He gives all things that pertain unto life and godliness. So yes, there are worldwide problems. There are things that we all have in common. But the solution is found in the righteousness, the perfection of Jesus Christ, and in the knowing of him, and knowing him in an experiential way. Not just knowing about him, but fully knowing him in a relationship. And he says, through his divine power, He gives unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. You've got questions in life? Struggles? Trials? Yeah, we all do. And here's the encouragement. That through Jesus Christ and through His divine power, there are answers. There are solutions. And it is in Him. His divine power. He's got the power. He's got the ability. And it says, not just some things, all things that pertain to life and godliness. Vitality now and forever, opening up the door that we can live in fear of God, in reverence and respect and worship of Him. So I don't know where you're at today. I do know something. God has you here for a reason and a purpose. Anywhere and everywhere that you go, God knows and He understands. And God brought you today to hear these truths. Do you have that like precious faith that Peter talked about? That's known and found in the righteousness. You know, it was made possible by the righteousness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I want to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. I want to read another passage for you as we close our time. Listen to this truth. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It says all have sinned. Not just some. That all includes you. That all includes me. But we have all come short of the glory of God. There's a problem. That's a worldwide problem. But then it goes on. It says, being justified freely by His grace. Do you know the grace of God in your life? The grace of God is the fact that He shows you favor that you don't even deserve. It's like a gift. He shows you favor. You're justified, you're made and declared righteous before God by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a satisfaction of God's wrath through faith in His blood. Yes, Jesus died. And He died a death to pay the penalty for your sin and mine. It was in your place and my place. To declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. Righteousness, true righteousness, is found in and through Jesus Christ. You're not going to find it anywhere else. Powerful truths to reckon with today, but I trust that we as a church, that we will recognize, yes, we do have a lot in common with the world, but we know the answer. And we know Jesus. You are the answer, Lord Jesus, and we rejoice in knowing You today. And I pray that You would use Your word and use this time that we've spent together. May it have a profound effect upon all of our lives for eternity. In Jesus' name, amen.